Turn with me, please, to this well-known Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He has made wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. As far, the reading of God's word. Congregation, beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever been in trouble? I mean, the kind of trouble that you just couldn't see your way getting out of it. There was no way of escape from the difficult place that you were in, and it didn't seem that anyone was around to be able to help you either. Well, then there's good news for you here in this psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And the fact is that we're all in deep trouble that we can't get out of ourselves. And why is that? For the simple reason that the wages of sin is death, and we're all sinners. And death pursues us every day, every one of us. Not one of us know for certain if we'll be alive tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon here on this earth. And there's nothing that we can do to keep ourselves alive, because the hour and the day has been set by the Lord. And besides that trouble, we have a vicious enemy called Satan, who's going around like a roaring lion to see whom he can destroy. The church of Christ is his object of destruction. And if he can't destroy totally, then at least make the life of every Christian, of every member, as difficult or as painful as he possibly can. That's what he wants to do. It's in this context that you're asked to consider the word of the Lord for you this afternoon under the theme, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. So first we consider what trouble we're in, then how the Lord is present to help us, and then thirdly, that we need to be still. First of all, our trouble. This psalm is thought to have been written during the time of Hezekiah. You can read that story in Isaiah. It's very well known. Isaiah 36 and 37. Maybe this evening takes some time to do that. It's also in 2 Kings 18 and 19. But you all know the story. This ruthless and violent Assyrian army that ravaged so many other nations had surrounded Jerusalem, and everyone was trapped inside the city walls. Death and starvation was staring them in the face. At any moment, the final attack on the walls If that would open the gates of Jerusalem, the enemy would destroy them. It's not pleasant to be in trouble. And it shouldn't surprise us that the word trouble comes from the word adversary, one of the names of Satan. And all through history, God's people have been in very difficult situations, being surrounded by the enemy. Think of Moses with the Egyptian enemy closing in on them at the Red Sea. They too were trapped. And that hasn't changed. Also today, 1 Peter 5:8 warns us, watch out, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about seeking whom he may devour, both as individual Christians and the church as a whole. The time of Luther, when he penned his famous hymn on this psalm, as he was surrounded by the threats of the Catholic Church. And so many times, governments and false churches have persecuted Christians. And we as Church of Jesus Christ need to understand that we are in that danger as well. The enemy really wants to destroy the faithful in Christ who are trusting in his word and who are, by the grace of God, attempting to live in obedience to that word and be faithful witnesses. Your danger is very real. And if you're not aware of that, then you've gone asleep or you're not taking it very seriously. But Satan is out to destroy you. You need to understand that in one way or another. Young people, adults, all of us, children, understand the danger that you're in. You have a real enemy. But now notice that this psalm is not talking about what Satan or evil men will do. It's not. It's talking about what God is going to do to the enemies of his church. It says in verse 2 that the earth will be removed. There's a catastrophic event that's coming when all the enemies will be destroyed forever. That's the good news. Verse 3 gives us details. Mountains will be carried into the midst of the sea. Waters will roar. Verse 6 says, he speaks and the earth melts. Verses 8 and 9, behold, the works of the Lord has made a desolation in the earth. God is going to pour out his wrath on all of sinful men when their cup of iniquity is full. He will no longer tolerate man's rebellion. It's going to reach that point. And he's going to put an end to it when Jesus Christ returns to judge the living and the dead. And it's interesting that we have a very similar description of Psalm 46 in Isaiah in different passages, other places as well, but Isaiah 13 verse 9, for example, says, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy sinners from it. I will punish the world for its evil, says the Lord, and the wicked for their iniquity. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. In Isaiah 24:17, following a similar picture, the earth is violently broken, the earth is split open, the earth is shaking exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall totter like a hut. Its transgressions shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. The earth is going to be broken to pieces because of its sin, the culmination of all the transgression of man. God's judgment on this world is coming, because man does not want to hear what God has to say. And all the great accomplishments of man, all the cultural things, and all their idols that they worship and look to for help and for refuge and for strength, it's going to be gone. In a few moments' time, gone. And when that happens, there will be no other place to flee to. There will be no survivors. Just like in the days of Noah. All died except for him and his family because they had found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so it'll be when the Lord comes. Only those who have been saved by grace will survive the wrath of God. So this psalm and other passages like in Isaiah gives us a picture of when Christ returns. The whole earth will be shaking and trembling and foaming and roaring in anguish in its last gasp for breath. Yes, the world and us in it is in deep trouble. 2 Peter 3:7 tells us the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment for the destruction of ungodly men. You see why it's happening? God's judgment on the ungodly. Now it's important to understand for us the great difference between the coming judgment of God and what the ungodly are doing today. The ungodly kill and hate and destroy and do all kinds of horrific evil things, even to innocent men, women, and children, because they have been so deceived by the lies of Satan. They refuse the commandments of God, which are good and right for us. They've made themselves God and do what they please, and they refuse to repent and obey the commandments of the Lord. This is where we see Satan working in the nations in the history of the world. As verse 6 says, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. Remind you of Psalm 2, which says, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? It's because they're against the Lord and His anointed. They're against Jesus Christ. They don't want to accept His rule. And that's why there have been so many persecutions against the Christians during the time of the Reformation and the last 100 years, and actually until very recent, and it's still ongoing in different parts of the world. But there's tremendous suffering in the part of Christians in Russia and in Korea and in many countries. And why was that? Because they were the true witnesses of Christ, that He rules over all things. They would not submit to that. They don't want to hear that He has the rule and the reign over all things. And brothers and sisters, unless there's going to be a great change here in this country, we're going to be persecuted as Christians here in Canada. If you want to be obedient to the word and a faithful witness, and once Satan is loosed, it's going to be extremely difficult for Christians everywhere on the face of the earth. And sometimes it seems that already this Satan is being loosed. All because the unbelieving do not want to accept Christ as King and Lord to rule over them. So what's the hope for us? We're on this planet. How do we escape God's punishment and this sin of disobedience? Well, consider secondly that God is present, ever present, to help us in all our trouble. He's never far away. He's always there. And you may wonder, why could the psalmist say that and not be afraid when he sees this, what's coming on this earth? And you may think the same. Well, the answer is in verse 4. Suddenly, the whole scene changes of that devastation, and the scene is like paradise and a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And what does that mean? When Hezekiah heard the threats of the enemy, do you remember what he did? Isaiah 37:14. It tells us that he went to the house of the Lord, and he placed a letter with all the threats before the Lord, and he prayed, Lord of hosts, God of Israel, who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, and you alone. Hezekiah knew where he could go to with his trouble. He went to the God of Israel, present in the Holy of Holies in the temple. He was present there above the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant. That's the river whose streams make glad the city of God. God's mercy, the glad tidings of being set free from the slavery to sin and every idol through the blood of the Lamb. And the Word of God is a river of life that always helps those who are in trouble and who are trusting the Lord for what He says in His Word. The Word of God is full of mercy and grace and hope for our hearts. Here, the city of God, that's the church where all believers are so glad and so overjoyed with the good news that Jesus Christ, what he has done for them. I trust that's where your joy comes from this afternoon. As Jesus said in John 4:24, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not come into the judgment, but has passed from death to life. So what do you have to fear? And the good news is that no matter how sinful you are, and therefore are condemned to suffer the wrath of God, there is still hope for you if you confess your sins to the Lord. No matter how far you've departed from God, no matter how terribly disobedient you have been, if there's anyone like that here this afternoon, the Lord is faithful to forgive you your sins and to give you eternal life. There are so many examples here in this short psalm of how the Lord is a refuge and strength and ever-present help to those who are in trouble, but who are trusting in Jesus Christ to help them. Let's look at verse 5, for example. It says, God is in the midst of her, meaning the church, believers in Christ. She will not be moved. God will help her just at the break of dawn. Now this little phrase, at the break of dawn, was written by Moses back in Exodus 14, verse 27. And it refers to what happened at the Red Sea when Pharaoh was chasing after the Israelites, and the people were so terribly afraid when they saw that army and what would happen to them. But Moses said to them in Exodus 14, 13, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you this day. For the Egyptians that you see, you will never see them again. And that's exactly what happened. The Lord opened a pathway for the Israelites to walk through these two tall walls of water on both sides. They were safe, and Pharaoh thought he could go there as well. He was right behind, pursuing, thought he was going to make them slaves again. And then what happened, children? You remember the story, I'm sure. The Lord commanded Moses to stretch out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength just at the break of dawn. Just as the sun was coming up, all Israel could watch these two walls of water collapse on Pharaoh and his army, and they all perished forever. And sometimes the Lord waits until the last moment, but he was there with them the whole time in the cloud and the fiery pillar. And just one word from his lips, and the Egyptians perished forever. Another example. Notice what verse 7 and 11 say about the name of the Lord. He is the Lord of hosts and the God of Jacob, who is with us. Now, you know what the name Lord of hosts refers to. The Lord is a host. He is the Lord of the host that's in heaven, all the saints there, as well as those on earth. Also, we're part of that host who have received eternal life in Christ. And then there are the angels as well, who are his servants. And the Lord sends his angels, who are ministering spirits of God, sent to the minister to those who will inherit salvation. That's us. We're ministered to. Maybe we don't know in what ways, but we are. That's what Scripture says. Hebrews 1:14. So they're ministering to the believers here on earth. And you remember when Hezekiah cried out to the Lord of hosts to fight against the mighty Assyrian army of 185,000 warriors. And this Assyrian general's bragging away about how great his God was, you know, no other gods could stand in the way. And so not to trust in your God, he says to Israel. He's not strong enough. He's not going to help you. And so what did the Lord do? He sent one angel and 185,000 warriors died. And the general went home and was murdered in the temple of his God by his own two sons. So you see, God is a refuge and strength, an ever-present help of those who cry out to him when they're in trouble. Then the other example of the name God of Jacob in verse 11. Again, children, I'm sure you remember the story of Jacob, how he deceived his father and was fleeing for his life, kind of, from his brother Esau. And he was alone in the wilderness with no protection from cold or heat. There was danger all around him of robbers and wild animals. He only had a stone for a pillow. And he was so tired, he went to sleep. But then he had this very unusual dream. He saw a ladder with angels ascending and descending, and the Lord himself on the top of the ladder speaking to him. And what did the Lord say? Genesis 28:15. The Lord said, "Jacob, I am with you, and I will protect you in all the places that you go, and I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you." And that was God's covenant promise to him personally, but also for the whole church. And the Bible is always full of these promises to God's people. Even when they are unfaithful, he comes to them, pleading with them to return to him, that they can count on his promises, because they are ever sure. God does what he says. He knows our hearts. He knows how weak we are. He knows how easily we go astray. That's why he's always appealing to us. Follow me. Confess your sins to me and I will forgive you. He gives the example of 7 times 7, then 70 times 70, remember? Because the Lord is always willing to forgive. That's why he gave that to us as an example. So even if this earth would melt under your feet tonight, but you've confessed your sins to Jesus Christ and you've placed your trust in his promises, you don't have to fear anything. And why is all this true in this psalm? Because something so wonderful has happened, you see, since the time this psalm has been written. The Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, became a man 2,000 years ago. And his name is I Am. That's what the Lord name Lord means in Hebrew, as you know. And Jesus says it again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He who comes, there's no one can come to the Father except by me. But I'm the good shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. I'm the living bread that comes down from heaven. I am the door. I am the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. I'm your Savior, Jesus Christ. And he was born of a Virgin Mary in a stable and slept in a manger. And while on earth he suffered so much, all the persecution that came against him. But he understands, because of that, all that he suffered, he understands what grief and sorrow is. And all that suffering on account of our sin that he suffered. But he rose from the dead. And as mighty as he is, he cares so much for you, whom he has forgiven and pardoned. Do you understand that? If you're one of his children, and he has sent you the Holy Spirit to comfort your heart, to guide you through his word. Children, Jesus listens to your prayers. If you pray tonight, Jesus is listening to what you have to say. And he knows your need. He knows the worries of your heart, the aches and pains that you have. But he's always addressing you through his word to comfort you. He truly is present with us in all things. And he wants you to take refuge in him. He wants you to depend on his strength for you. That's why he has given you the Holy Spirit. Doesn't he say that again and again? Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He can give you a peace in most turbulent times. Amazing. But he is able to do that. And that's why, thirdly, we need to be still. As verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted on the earth. And this word still comes from a root meaning to tremble. And when we see how awesome God is, in His majesty, His glory, in His power, in His love, that we need to tremble before Him in a godly and reverent fear. We may not understand the troubles that we go through in life, and nor should we ask. I mean, you know, Job was a righteous man. God said, there's no man like him on all the earth. And still, Job had to learn that lesson. Be still and know that I am God. Or the Apostle Paul, all the great things that God had called him to do. And then the Lord gave him a messenger of Satan to torment him so that he wouldn't become puffed up in pride. And three times he asked the Lord to relieve him. And what did Jesus say to him? My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And that's what the Lord is saying also to you this afternoon. In all your troubles that you may have, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Just be still and know that I am God. No matter how fearful the circumstances are in your life, no matter how anxious or despairing you may feel, your flesh may fail you, but be still and know that I am God. I'm in control of all that's happening in your life and in the world. And I will be exalted among the heathen and among the nations and in this earth. And I will be exalted also even in what happens to you if you should die in prison, in a prison cell on account of your faith. For a little while, 1 Peter 1:6 says, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes. Now you have to go through the fire so that you may be found to my praise and my honor and my glory, says the Lord. I'm in control of what's happening in your life, but I will be exalted in you. And remember one more thing. There is one more time coming when the church called the camp of the saints, the beloved city of God, will be surrounded by the enemy of satanic forces in as great a number as the sand on the sea. Revelation 20 verses 8 through 10 tell us. That's at the Armageddon, the last stand. And what will Jesus Christ do to rescue his bride then? Fire will come from heaven and devour all the enemies of God's people forever. And Satan will be cast into the lake of fire along with the beast, the false prophet. And they will never make trouble again. On that great and terrible day, the unbelieving nations will panic. The ground will be taken from underneath their feet. The mountains will start falling into the sea. The earth will be split wide open. All the disobedient and the rebellious who have delighted to do evil will not know where to hide because of the glory of the Lord. They will be so desperate. Such a terrible fear will grip their hearts. They will be overcome by anguish and gnash their teeth in desperation because they have rejected the Christ of the Scriptures. That's why it's so important, dear brothers and sisters, that as believers in Christ who have tasted the mercy of God and who know the grace of God personally, to warn our unbelieving neighbors and friends of what is going to happen to them if they do not repent of their sins. We owe it to them to warn them and urge them to flee to Christ now in the day of salvation, that they seek forgiveness and a refuge in Christ. Because if they refuse, they will perish forever under God's wrath. And you can tell them from the Scriptures that God does not want that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And tell them that your desire for them is that they too should be forgiven as you have been forgiven, and that they too would receive eternal life as you have received eternal life. Think of the day of the Lord when he comes with his holy angels, and you will see him sitting on his throne as Matthew 5:31 pictures it. O saints of God who have trusted in Jesus Christ for refuge, who know that the Lamb of God was slain to wash away your sins, how very glad you will be to see him. Can you imagine it? The Lord's coming on the clouds of glory with all the angels while the earth is trembling and caving and melting under your feet. You'll be so overjoyed to hear the voice of your Savior calling you by your name to come to him, while everything else and everyone else is being destroyed around you. What a shout of joy there will be from those who have taken refuge in the living God, in the Lord, as you're taken up from earth to be united with the Lord and all the saints together with the angels, celebrating the great banqueting feast that's all prepared for you in the celestial city of God, as you enter into that everlasting joy that will never end. And that's why, dear brothers and sisters, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted on the earth. Jesus knows your sufferings. He knows all the trouble that you're in. But he will exalt you in the place that he's preparing for you. So be patient. Wait on the Lord. Just a little while longer. Soon he'll come to take you to himself, to where he is now in glory. And then for all of eternity, there will be no sorrow, no crying, no pain, and you will never be in trouble again. Why not? Because you will be with the God who is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be moved. Because the Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ, is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge forever. Amen.